So maybe we could just talk a little bit about CDK inhibitors, and particularly in terms of what we know about the three that are now available. Maybe just as sort of a, kind of go through your vision, maybe how you explain to your fellows, or if you're going to give a talk, about why it is that we see benefit from CDK inhibitors, particularly obviously in combination with hormonal therapies at kind of a mechanistic level, and globally, what the impact is in the metastatic setting.
So in order to explain the benefit from CDK4/6 inhibitors, I'm going to go back and talk a little bit about primary and acquired endocrine therapy resistance, because that does play a role on how do we decide to add targeted treatments to endocrine therapy. So for the most part, ER-positive tumors have sensitivity to endocrine therapies. We all know that, and we've been using these endocrine therapies now for tens of years with a lot of success, both in the adjuvant and in the metastatic setting. So ultimately, there are tumors that have what we call primary resistance to endocrine therapy, which are the cancers that don't respond to endocrine therapy from the get-go, meaning clinically that would be patients that either have a recurrence of their cancer while they are receiving adjuvant treatment or very shortly after completing adjuvant treatment, usually within the first 6 months to a year. For patients in the metastatic setting, we can tease those patients out by observing progression of disease that happens within the first 6 months of being exposed to the first-line endocrine therapy treatment. So these are cancers that don't have as much of a dependency on estrogen blockade as other cancers do, and there's a variety of reasons for that, but a lot of the common ones are the ability to engage pathways that normally would help the cancer continue to proliferate and survive independent of estrogen. One of these pathways is the cyclin D pathway, which is ultimately a target for CDK4/6 inhibitors, not the pathway as a whole, but at least an important node on the pathway. Whereas cancers that have what we call acquired resistance, which are those tumors that respond well to endocrine therapy to begin with, so patients that have a good number of years of disease-free interval between completing their adjuvant therapy and developing metastatic disease, or once they present, let's say, hypothetically with de novo ER-positive metastatic disease, take years to have disease progression on first-line endocrine therapy. Those cancers develop the ability to circumvent estrogen blockade by engaging other pathways, and the main one in that sense is the PI3 kinase pathway, to a lesser extent, the cyclin D pathway. There are other factors in acquired resistance, such as the event of ESR1 mutations and whatnot, but to make things simple, if we were to break it down, primary and acquired resistance, with primary resistance, the cyclin D pathway becomes a very important tool to determine that, and PI3 kinase pathway is a pathway that's normally engaged more in acquired resistance. So years ago, when the first targeted treatment approved by the FDA to be used in conjunction with endocrine therapies, in this case, everolimus, based on the big phase III trial called BOLERO-2, that strategy worked very well for second and third-line endocrine therapies and not so well in first-line treatment because, again, biologically speaking, the PI3 kinase pathway is not a pathway that is necessarily engaged in primary resistance to endocrine therapy. So in first-line treatment in metastatic setting, most women actually do well with endocrine therapy alone, not requiring PI3 kinase pathway blocker in order to have a better outcome than using endocrine therapy alone. But all the patients that had primary resistance actually didn't do well with either. Once CDK4/6 inhibitors were explored, the idea was to capture some of these women with primary resistance, and that's where we see a big brunt of benefit coming about when we use these agents in first line, where you prevent proliferation of cancers and interfere with the estrogen pathway as well because they crosstalk. And ultimately, this strategy turned out to be very successful in first-line treatment because now we not only saw a differential on the benefit in patients that had acquired resistance to endocrine therapy, but also the ones that had primary resistance, where even the ones that had very quick progression on endocrine therapy alone still responded to the combination.